Tell me, is it so? Do you get a kick out of telling brothers no?
No, it's not that, so you don't understand. I said I put it, I got a man.
What your man got to do with me?
I told ya.
I'm not trying to hear that, see?
I'm not one of those girls that go ripping around.
I'm not a duck, baby, so don't play me like a clown.
I'll admit, I like how you're kicking.
Now you're talking, baby, that's the ticket.
Now don't get excited and chuck your own hand. I already told ya, I got a man.
What your man got to do with me?
I got a man.
I'm not trying to hear that, see?
I got a man.
What your man got to do with me?
I got a man.
I'm not trying to hear that.
Now you can persist and play Don Juan all night, but ain't nothing gonna change.
Yeah, baby, sure, you're right. I'ma break it down and do whatever I got to do. I'll tell you now, I got eyes for you.
You got eyes, but they're not for me. You better use them for what they're for, when that's to see.
You know what's the problem? Young is still learning. I'm Big Daddy Long stroking your man's Pee Wee Herman.
I got a question to ask you, truth. Are you a chef? Cause you keep feeding me soup.
You know what they say about those who sweat themselves. You might find yourself by yourself. I'm not waiting because I'm no waiter. So when I blow up, don't try to kick it to me later.
All them girls must got you gas.
And when they see a good thing, they don't let it pass.
Well, that's okay. You see if that's their plan. Cause for me, I already got a man.
What your man got to do with me?
I got a man.
I'm not trying to hear that, see?
I got a man.
What your man got to do with me?
I got a man.
I'm not trying to hear that. What am I? Some grabbing mate that just came home from jail sweating you for a date. I don't want no beef, I just want to get together.
But how you talking? Psh, whatever.
We can't have nothing.
It all depends.
Well, if we can't be lovers, then we can't be friends.
Well, then I guess it's nothing.
Well, hey, I think you're bluffing.
Well, I'ma call my man.
Well, I can get a ragamuffin. You better catch a flashback. Remember, I'm not crabbing it. You know my style, but I'm not having it.
All I remember is an excuse me, miss. You can't get a girl like me with a line like this.
Well, look, I treat you good.
My man treats me better.
I talk sweet on the phone.
My man writes love letters.
I'll tell you that I want you and tell you that I care.
My man says the same, except he's sincere.
Well, I'm clean cut and dapper. That's what I'm about.
My man buys me things and he takes me out.
Well, you can keep your man, because I don't go that route. Let me know the spot on your body and I'll bite you. So when your man don't treat you like it used to, I kick in like a turbo booster. You won't love and you don't have to ask when. Your man's a headache, I'll be your aspirin. All confusion, you know, I'll solve him.
I got a man.
You got a what? How long you had that problem? What your man got to do with me?
I got a man.
I'm not trying to hear that, see?
I got a man.
What your man got to do with me?
I got a man.
I'm not trying to hear that.
I got a man.
Hey, yo, baby.
Well, I'm moving.
Wow.
Incredible. I'm moving, everybody. I'm here to announce it right now. I am moving away from the valley. It's the first time in the glorious history of me living in California, and I'm finally, at long last, escaping the horrible vacuum of suck that is... Well, that's a redundant expression, don't you think? When I say the horrible vacuum of suck, I mean suck in the colloquial or to-be-not-good sense. And I mean vacuum, as in an all-encompassing sucking machine. The point is, I've lived in the valley the entire tenure of my time in California, and tonight, slash tomorrow, I'm finally escaping, hence tonight's theme tonight, on Theme Party, it's moving. We're going to play lots of Supergrass songs and talk about moving and all other things. Of course, this is Kill Radio, and we come at you every Friday night on Kill Radio. That's killradio.org. You can listen to us online at the website I just read to you. Theme Party is the home of boozy fops and drunken dames and all good things in between. Tonight we'll be talking about moving and other such things. I'll be here. I am, of course, the eligible Ross Lincoln. Kyle MCDC, Erica slash DJ Kiss My Fist. Just got outed by me. In the background is Pura Sada by Fantastic Plastic Machine. We're going to let it play. And when we come back in several songs from now, prepare to be amazed by the hilarity. Theme Party. We'll be right back.
San Francisco too. Everywhere there's music, real life music, bands with a million styles, but it's still not the same old rock and roll music that really, really drives me wild. They say the hotter rock and roll is to be, and from what I see, I believe them. Now the other may be barely breathing, but the hotter rock and roll is to be, yeah.
Hello?
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 Yeah. It's me, party. I want to hear this part. You know what that music reminds me of? It reminds me of the music from Clash of the Titans. Which is one of my favorite movies. I've got it on DVD.
Did Vangelis do that score?
Vangelis? No.
Vangelis?
Vangelis?
Los Vangelis?
Vangelis. He and I will... we're going to have a fight.
Eligible, what did you just play in that set?
Well, let me drop it for you. Educationally, we heard Supergrass, Moving. That was the song we just listened to. Setting the tone for our theme tonight.
That album, which is?
Moving. That song is the first song off Supergrass's third and self-titled album.
Yes, that's actually the first Supergrass song I had ever heard.
Really? Well, yeah. It's a good one to hear.
Yeah.
Before that, we heard a classic, I dare say, of some of the best music that has ever been recorded. I'm referring, of course, to The Heart of Rock and Roll by Huey Lewis in the News. One of my favorite songs of all time, and a song I listen to a lot.
My mom has a very big crush on Huey Lewis.
Every woman our parents' age has a crush on him.
Mm-hmm. Not my mom.
Your mom is weird. She gave birth to a Zabowski. Of course she's weird.
Yeah, that's true.
Fantastic Plastic Machine before that, the song Purisora. It is the third track off of Fantastic, or actually the second song, but third track if you buy the CD. Second song off there, 2001 brilliant work of genius called Beautiful, which I highly recommend if you're looking for something that you haven't heard before and you're saying, what would I buy if I were the eligible Ross Lincoln and I didn't have his record collection? I would say, go thee to the store and buy Fantastic Plastic Machine Beautiful. And we sort of opened up the show with Positive K. I got a man. Because I love
it. I got
a
man.
A good way to open it.
Thank you. And tonight's theme is inspired partially by the fact that Supergrass is in town. So we're going to be playing a lot of Supergrass songs tonight. And partially by the fact that yours truly, the eligible Ross Lincoln, at long last is finally moving. And as I mentioned at the really stilted and halting introduction to the show, I've lived in the Valley, which... Should we talk about the Valley? Because there may be some listeners outside of L.A. who don't know precisely what
it's on fire.
Yes, it is on fire.
It's on fire.
DJ Kiss My Fist is correct.
Yeah. But I don't consider Glendale the Valley.
It's technically considered the Valley. I looked it up.
I know. It's a shame. Mm-hmm.
I know.
But yeah, I Kyle, MCDC, I'm very happy that you're finally getting out of the clutches of the Valley.
There's only one left.
What?
Only two more members of Theme Party have to get out.
Nickname and MC17.
17.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the last ones. Yeah, for those of you who have only seen the movie Valley Girl, contrary to...
All one of you.
Yeah. Or for those of you who have heard the name but aren't really understanding what it is, the Valley is actually not... The Valley is the other half of Los Angeles. It's not a suburb. In the traditional sense of a city that is technically separate from another city where everyone lives and then works, you know, it's part of Los Angeles. It actually used to be all these smaller towns that were absorbed into LA back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s as LA sort of grew and gobbled everything up like a giant, all-consuming evil monster.
Or sexy monster.
Sexy monster.
Friendly monster.
Exactly.
Sexy friendly monster Los Angeles is.
Well, I was going to say, it depends on your opinion of Edward Mulholland, right? Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, he of nearly committing suicide after his faulty dam killed like 10,000 people. Uh-huh. Anyway, enough of that. The point is, the Valley is, the LA basically has two distinct environments. There's a mountain range that sort of divides them. One is the basin, which is when you think of LA, Hollywood, Santa Monica, which isn't LA, but all the stuff you see in movies where you're like, we're in Hollywood, it's great. That's the basin. And those are the parts of Los Angeles that get the cool, refreshing ocean air that stops at the Hollywood Hills. What are they called? They actually have a real mountain name, but I'm not going to... Whatever. The point is, the Hollywood Hills is actually a mountain range, and that mountain range stops the wind from the ocean from going any further. Even back in Native American times, they called that area the Valley of Smoke.
LA so they had smog back in the...
Yeah, LA's had a smog problem since back in the day because the wind comes in from the ocean and then gets stopped by the mountains. But anyway, the San Fernando Valley is in the valley on the other side of the Hollywood Hills, between those hills and the San Fernando Mountains, and it's enormous and huge, and it's nothing but communities where people live, and it's fucking boring.
And it's just sprawling mini malls that are really dull. Mm-hmm. There's at every corner you'll find a donut shop, a pizza place, a Payless,
and
what else?
And a liquor store with a wacky marquee.
It's really
that's true.
It's kind
of
crappy.
There's lots of wacky marquees for boring stores there.
It's crappy and boring, kind of weirdly homogenous.
Yeah.
For a place in LA, it's like a whole bunch of really square white people, except for our friends that live there. And pornography.
Well, there is a lot of like Mexican immigration to the valley because the land is the housing is kind of cheaper there. But for the most part, Kyle MCDC is right. Several years ago, the valley actually almost seceded from Los Angeles, narrowly defeated. There's a strong argument to be made that the reason they wanted to secede is because they were getting tired of their tax dollars going to pay for those darkies.
It's good that it didn't because. Yeah. They were trying to think of names.
Oh, Camelot.
Because the San Fernando is already a town, so they couldn't take that.
Yeah.
So they had the most ridiculous names. But we were coming up with some new names for the San Fernando Valley. Our favorite was Los Angeles 2, The Revenge. That was basically what we settled on.
But they wanted to name it Camelot, which would have been horribly ironic because I don't think it's anybody's idea of paradise on Earth. It's really hot because of that aforementioned not being able to get the wind from the ocean.
Bingo.
Really hot. No matter how hot it is when you're in any other part of L.A., add like 10 degrees and you've got the valley.
You know, brief aside, one of the cool things about Los Angeles, one of my favorite things about it, is that there are microclimates. Like, the temperature will be different any day of the year, at any time of day, dependent on where you are in town. So, if on a day when it's 115, 110 degrees in Calabasas, it'll be like 60 in Venice. I love that. But, yes, he's absolutely right. The valley is fucking enormously hot.
And now it's on fire, so it's hotter.
Yeah.
It smells like smoke.
Oh, but the worst thing about the valley, and this sort of goes hand in hand with what Kyle was, and Erica, or Kyle MCDC and Kiss My Fist.
I remember my DJ.
That's right.
Moniker
Kyle and what MCDC and DJ Kiss My Fist were saying. The thing about the valley that's most ridiculous is this. We live in a major metropolitan area, am I right?
Yes.
I mean, like the kind of place where thousands and millions of people have come through all sorts of things. You're exposed to the
thousands of million. What are you, George Bush?
That'd be billions. Look, all I'm saying is, and look, don't misunderestimate me.
Tons of quartz.
No, but seriously, the diversity and mass variety that the world has to offer comes through this city every day, and yet still, the valley is the place where you can go to just get your fill of nostalgia for wherever you left. Mm. Case in point, if you're on a scooter, there will be at least three or four people in a given week who will drive past you and inform you that you are apparently a faggot.
Mm.
Because nothing is more manly than driving in a huge SUV that protects you from any and all harm because your delicate body can't handle being shook slightly. And nothing is less manly than risking your life every day on the open road. But the point is, I thought when you moved to L.A., you left behind, hey, faggot! You know?
Mm-hmm.
Not so. Move to the valley, you get it every day.
There's been a real cowboy hat renaissance in the valley. Maybe those two things are tied together.
It's quite possible.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Just in the valley?
Yeah, well, I mean, I specifically noticed it when I was a courier in the valley. But, yeah. Cowboy
hats.
There's
that store.
Everywhere.
There's a Western store.
Everyone's wearing cowboy hats now. They're all, like, ignorant rednecks.
Hopefully the rest of America and the world will not be influenced by the style in the valley.
Yeah.
By the way, if you have thoughts on the valley or moving in general, please IM us at
Good
Theme
call.
Party Radio and we'll share them with the world at large.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's AOL Instant Messenger, people. Theme Party Radio. You could also call us 213-252-0998, but don't do that. IM us, bitch. So I'm moving. I'm getting
Good.
I'm getting out of the valley, and as they mentioned, we're very excited about it. I'm moving to the neighborhood that I love hate.
Now tell us why this neighborhood is better than your last, and what is this neighborhood?
I'm moving to Silver Lake, which
home of the new Denise Richards star, Sex, Love, and Secrets.
That's right. Silver Lake is a very famous neighborhood. It is the William. It is talked about as the Williamsburg. Williamsburg is the hip neighborhood in New York.
Reverse. Williamsburg is the Silver Lake of New York.
Yeah. Well, my point is,
we've had Silver Lake for forever.
No, I agree. Williamsburg became hip after Silver Lake became hip. The point is, Silver Lake is actually a really pretty and wonderful neighborhood in terms of like food to eat and the beautiful scenery and the convenience of living there. It really is like urban living, but with nice residential feel.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful houses.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Lots of unique characters.
Oh yeah, back in the 20s, Silver Lake and also Echo Park were where all the like biggest of the big stars in Hollywood lived. Like Charlie Chaplin owned like four houses. Fatty Arbuckle had an enormous mansion that's still around today. It's rented out now. I think everyone that lives there is like a militant lesbian, which is pretty cool. I've been to several of their parties.
Do you have to be to?
I don't think so. I think it just
to live there.
I think somebody with very good credit got on the lease and has dictated the terms of who moves in. At any rate, I've been to their parties. They're very nice.
You've been to parties at Fatty Arbuckle's house?
No, well, yeah. Well,
it's in lesbians?
Well, it's like all these people that live together. I mean, they all rent the place together, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Let's go.
That's what I said. Hey, we've got a question. SoCalian says, you know what's worse than the San Fernando Valley? We'll answer that question in a second, but I do want to say what's
Santa
nice about...
Santa Monica?
Ooh. I'm going to say... Santa Monica, that sounds good. The point is, what's good about Silver Lake? It's hilly, for one thing, and cool. Like, it has all the great weather that LA is known for. Like, the temperature drops dramatically at night and cools you off, and in the daytime, it never gets so hot that you want to kill yourself, except very rarely when the whole city's in a heat wave. The part of the neighborhood I'm in is very, very hilly. Oh my god, it's so brilliant. I'm actually right next to Sunset Junction, which is where Sunset Boulevard and Santa Monica Boulevard merge.
And they have that...
They have a dumb festival every year. Yeah. It's not that dumb.
Dumb?
No, I'm just...
Why are you guys saying
like
it's a dumb festival? It's really fun.
I don't like crowds.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to kiss
well,
my face.
You won't like any festival.
Yeah. Well, no.
I like Ross Fest, where there's a guaranteed 3 feet of personal space for every person there.
Sunset Junction is awesome, frankly.
No, yeah.
Sunset Junction is something they founded. Echo Park has, and Silver Lake for that matter, have traditionally been kind of like... heavily Latino and heavily gay. So they kind of came up with this thing called Sunset Junction, a street festival that would sort of like merge the two and like diffuse tensions between those two kind of cultures. And now it's become heavily hipster as well. So you've got, you know, I guess maybe that's the overlap between heavily gay and heavily Latino.
Well, back before the late 90s, even as far back as the 80s, the sort of like east part of Los Angeles, which is now like the coolest places to hang out, we're all like car theft, gang carjacking, like murder capitals. I mean, it was like North Compton practically, and people don't really talk about it because Compton became famous later on. But back in the 80s, like Los Feliz itself was like a pretty dangerous neighborhood.
Oh yeah,
and they started, but because they had all that history. One of the reasons I think that other neighborhoods that are equally rough aren't necessarily going to have an easy time sort of turning things around. But all those houses are really old, and it's very quaint, and so it was very cheap. So people started moving in there in the late 80s. Los Feliz was the first one where people moved to. So Los Feliz became like the new hipster neighborhood first. So that was immortalized in Swingers, and it was like the ground zero for like the swing scene. By the end of the 90s, Silver Lake and Echo Park started coming up. Silver Lake actually has the worst population of the three. It's the most insufferable group of twats that in the entire city outside of like Beverly Hills and Santa Monica.
No.
who'd you say is worse?
Well, Beverly Hills and Santa Monica.
No, I said outside of those. Outside.
Yeah,
of those.
But there's so
Brentwood,
many. Yeah.
Right. What I mean is, once you're outside of the West Side, you won't find a more annoying group of insufferable twats than you will living in Silver Lake.
Yeah, but they're cute. They're pleasing on the eye.
Yeah, but they're fucking pretentious
douchebags. I don't care. There's not enough cute-looking people walking around. I want to see more.
Well, normally, I'd agree with you, but I don't like going to parties where everyone's 35, but they're acting like 15-year-olds. You know, like, if you bring somebody that's not wearing the right hip T-shirt, they don't even talk to you. It's kind of annoying.
Have you experienced this?
Not personally. They think I'm one of them. But I have had several of my friends treated like that. And it's very annoying. Mart Vianos, for instance.
Oh. He has?
Oh, several times.
The new roommate?
Yeah, my new roommate that I'm going to be living with starting tomorrow.
Your new old roommate.
My new old roommate.
I'm picturing him showing up at a party and not being let in and looking really sad.
No, but imagine what it must be like to go to a party where you're with your friend and everyone goes, hey, it's really great to see you. And I go, oh, this is my friend. And they're like, hey, and just turn around like he wasn't even there. That happened to him like 3 or 4 times, and finally I was... Well, almost, it was really ridiculous. Mm. Those sorts of things are much more common when you talk about Silver. Like, it is a very pretty neighborhood, but it's full of very annoying people, very like coiffured, expensive outfits. And the worst part about it is like
look like homeless people out.
Uh huh. But it is still a really pretty neighborhood. It's hilly. There's some great eating. I'm going to be right down the street. I'm going to be walking distance from Eatwell now.
Are you going to be by the cheese shop?
Oh, you know I'm going to be by the cheese shop.
Hmm. Huh.
Ross?
Somebody...
That is rude.
Word. So anyway, yeah, people, what's up? What do you got to say about moving? Because I've talked forever, and I kind of want to play some music in a second, but I think that maybe before we play some music, we could... And this is just a thought. We could ask you guys, real quick.
Uh-huh.
Moving. What do you think of it?
Well, it's no fun. But, I actually had a really interesting moving experience in that my landlords tried to steal my fridge.
What?
And, then yelled at me for it.
Wait, I don't understand. What happened?
Because I couldn't find... Because I lived in Hollywood for 3 years, and that really fucking sucked. I couldn't find... I didn't want to take any of my appliances because, like, there were cockroaches and stuff, and I didn't want to take them to my beautiful new place.
Which is a great place.
So I figured, like, instead of taking this perfectly good, only, like, 2-year-old fridge, I was going to sell it. But I couldn't find anyone to buy it because it was in the middle of the summer and business was slow. And so none of the used places wanted to take it. But then, so I asked the managers, I was like, what happens if I leave my fridge? And they said, oh, we'll just charge you a $50 fee. So I asked them to ask the new people moving in if they wanted to buy it. And they didn't. So I was thinking, oh, well, I have to pay this fee. And then I finally found someone to... take it. I was like, it's 2 years old and you can have it for free if you come after 6 o'clock when you're closed. And they're like, we'll be right over. So they were coming over and I was living in my new place, but I just was still cleaning out the old place. I'm driving up and I was a couple minutes late and I see the truck, the like refrigerator truck driving away, and I'm like, oh no, I missed them. So I start following them and thinking, like, I'll stop at an intersection and, like, be like, no, no, like, come back, come get the fridge.
Right.
And I see my fridge sitting on the truck, and I'm like, how the hell did they get in? They must have, one of the other roommates must have left the door, must have been there. So I get upstairs, there's no one there, none of the other roommates, and the door is unlocked.
Right on.
And I'm like, did someone leave this unlocked? There wasn't anything really in there. But I go in and there was still like cleaning products. They were gone. And like hangers and stuff. They were totally gone.
Those rat bastards.
Like, okay, everything's been stolen. I'm just going to... And the fridge was gone. And I'm like, I guess I'll just leave then. So I like close the door. And I try to lock it, and I realize the locks have been changed, and the door has been left unlocked. And so I got a call from the apartment managers, and they're like, you took the fridge! We were going to take that! Or no, they called someone else who lived in the building who was my friend.
Oh.
And they were like, what's she doing? She promised us that fridge. So, and they yelled at my friend who lived in the building who had nothing to do with it. I just gave the fridge people that number in case I wasn't there. And so yeah, they were gonna steal my fridge and charge me $50.
Well,
and they got pissed that I didn't that I didn't leave the fridge for them to steal.
Well, I've got a song for you then. Because I hate them as much as you do.
They're bastards.
We'll be back in a second. We're going to get drunk now.
I'm going to lie on my back and you put your fingers down my mouth, right?
No.
No, do it right. Like, I'm going to do a Jimi Hendrix. I'm going to be sick in my sleep. I try to do it proper, but get coming up a cropper. I need some pipe, I think I'll ram rate happy shopper. Haven't got a car, so I use a space hopper. Bounce it to the window, cut my head, show stopper. I want 100 fans, 200 teeny poppers. I want police protection from 87 coppers. I wanna go gold, even better platinum. If you wanna be a star, you gotta kill yourself, man. It's a truth, step back, take a look around. Elvis is dead for being fat, 500 pound. Kurt Cobain's rich as fuck, he's buried in the ground. Jimi Hendrix and his amp still ain't making no sound. Michael Hutchins is one of them too. Made 100 million quid, dying wanking on the loo. S-U-I-C-I-D-E. It might be messy, but it's money for free.
Suicide is painless, or so it has been said. I couldn't kill myself, but I'd be better off dead. So I took a deep breath, put a gun against my head, pulled the trigger, click, should've been eating lead. But I wasn't, I was naked in John Frost Square. Mothers and pushchairs stopped and stared. For this situation, I was quite unprepared. Tried suicide to be famous, but nobody cared.
Committing suicide to enhance my career. It worked for Biggie and Tupac Shakir. Jesus was nailed up to some wood 2,000 years later and book sales are still good. I heard in a song, suicide is famous. And it's 80% sure they'll make you famous. Wanking with a bag on your head tied to a door. That bloke from NXS, he knew the score.
S-U-I-C-I-D-E. It might be messy, but it's money for free. S-U-I-I-D-D-C. It might be messy, but it's money for free.
I gotta kill myself, I gotta do it quick. John ain't whistle slightly, but snoring ass stink. I keep taking all this coke to make me die. Doing more drugs than he making fucking ICI. It's the best way to go, don't think me dull. I'm not gonna fall off the roof like the flared rod hull. We want people to sing all our songs. And the nuns ate St. Joseph's, rapping along, smoking bongs. We wanna be remembered when we're 6 feet under. For hip-hop and not robins, fucking beatings or plunder. At the moment I'm not dead like David Campese. Double platinum means you gotta be pushing up daisies. Dad Sammy's all dead, every last one. But the cunts are still going on BBC One. Yeah, that's right, I smoked drum from Wales. Suicide's a good idea to improve vinyl sales.
It's useless, it's crap, I'll never be in the sun. How can I be a pop star when I can't buy a gun? Jimmy Morrison overdosed in a bath. I know, I hang myself with my scarf. Tied to the stairs, dangling by my neck. The cord length, I forgot to check. Stuck there for a week, unable to shriek. The landlord found me and he called me a freak. He cut me down and started to laugh. If you're dead next week, give me your autograph. You know I thanked him, returned to my room. The new plan is to go out with a boom to the station with a petrol can. £5 please, I say to the man. All set up and ready to burn. The wheel on my lighter just won't turn.
Suicide is a suicide. Suicide is a suicide. Suicide is a suicide. I'm gonna be famous after I die.
Proven fact, man, if you're dead, you'll sell more. That drummer from Def Leppard, his arm has made 30 times more than he has.
You know what, Elvis? He's dead famous now, he's dead. And his face more famous now. Like, he's dead, like, you know, that's what it's all about, like.
It's fucking simple economics.
Right, and Bob, man, he's dead, but he's not, man, because he was on the TV last night, man. Still like to me, man.
I thought I was having a go at an overdose, but I don't think you're overdosing Beecham's Flu Plus.
I think one of the blokes on with Dad's arm, he's still alive. I think he's bumming Martin in EastEnders, isn't he?
I'll get
the
ropes, and we tie him to the wall.
She came from Greece. She had a thirst for knowledge. She studied sculpture at St. Martin's College. That's where I caught her eye. She told me that her dad was loaded. I said, in that case, I'll have a rum and Coca-Cola. She said, fine. And in 30 seconds' time, she said, I want to live like common people. I want to do whatever common people do. I want to sleep with common people. I want to sleep with common people like you. Well, what else could I do? I said, I'll see what I can do. I took her to a supermarket. I don't know why, but I had to start it somewhere. So it started there. I said, pretend you've got no money. She just laughed and said, oh, you're so funny. I said, yeah? Well, I can't see anyone else smiling in here.
Are you sure?
You want to
live like common people? You want to see whatever common people see? You want to sleep with common people? You want to sleep with common people like me? But she didn't understand.
She just smiled and held my hand. Rent a flat above a shop. Cut your hair and get a job. Smoke some flags and play some pool. Pretend you never went to school. But still you'll never get it right. When you're lying in bed at night, watching roaches climb the wall. If you called your dad, he could stop it all here.
You'll never live like common people. You'll never do whatever common people do. You'll never fail like common people. You'll never watch your life slide out of you and dance and drink and screw. Cause there's nothing else to do.
Because there's nothing else to do.
Stupid things that you do because you think that poor is cool.
Like a dog lying in a corner, they'll bite you and never warn you. Look out.
They'll tear your insides out because everybody hates a tourist.
Everybody hates a tourist, especially one who thinks it's all such a lie.
Yeah, and the chip stains grease will come out in the bath.
You will never understand how it feels to live your life with no meaning or control, and with nowhere left to go.
You're amazed that they exist, and they burn, so bright while you can only wonder why.
Rent a flat above a shop, cut your hair, get a job, smoke some fags and play some pool. But still you'll never get it right.
Cause when you've laid in bed at night watching roaches climb the wall, if you called your dad, he could stop it all. Yeah. You'll never live like common people.
You'll never do what common people do.
You'll never fail like common people.
You'll never watch your life slide out of you and dance and drink and screw.
Cause there's nothing else to do.
When I love
That last song, I'm going to stutter because I love it so much. Let's just talk about what we heard for a second here because it's important for America. The first song we heard in that set was, alright, we'll just go back in reverse. The last song you just heard was called I Love My Toys by The Idle Race. The Idle Race were a band that features a theme party favorite, Jeff Lynne, of ELO fame.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that his first band before?
And Move fame.
Yeah, and The Move, of course, too, but most people would know ELO, which is why I mentioned it first. But yes, Jeff Lynne, of course, weirdly enough, gave almost 20 years of nonstop musical brilliance, and I love him for that. He is he's a god. And he had a really, really hilarious beard, which I support. If I could grow a beard.
Generally, his hair was pretty fun.
I know. Well, it's weird when you see him. It's like him and Allen Ginsberg. And I'm trying to think of other people with huge, shaggy beards that don't look stupid. Don Henley in the 70s, even though I hate the Eagles more than life itself.
Right on.
Yeah, the Eagles I despise them with every fiber of my being. Anyway, before the Idle Race, we heard Toots and the Maytals, Pretty Talk was the name of the song, and I love Toots and the Maytals. That's all I need to say about that. They're excellent, and Rocksteady is the best music ever. Maybe not
this
ever.
This week.
No, well, to be fair, as it's a cliche at this point to even mention, but as we all know, I thought wrongly that I hated reggae. I went through 30 years of my life thinking wrongly that I hated reggae, only to discover that I just hated roots reggae. In fact, I really love Rocksteady, and of course ska. Anyway, before that, we heard William Shatner's cover of Common People with Joe Jackson, and it's a pretty good song, I have to say. And the first song in that set was a good song, I remember that. Goldie Lookin' Chains.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Goldie it's just one chain.
Goldie Lookin' Chain, you're right.
Singular.
Yes. Goldie
Christopher Reeves.
No, it was Goldie Lookin' Chain, and the song was Guns Don't... Or the song was Self-Suicide, which is an anthem, really, for the kids, if you think about it. And it's theme party, and tonight's our moving show, and also our sort of sycophantically ass-kissing to Supergrass show, since they're in town tonight and we're not there.
Yeah.
But we do love them.
Well, we're not sycophantically kissing their ass right now.
That's true. I am.
We love them.
Oh, I obsequiously love them. And I also love the fact that Kiss My Fist is one of the people who has met them.
Yeah.
And Lady T.
And talked, you know what I talked about with them? Scientology.
No. What do they say about it?
Well, because they don't know much about it. So I was explaining the Celebrity Centra to Mickey, and he was like, he thought it was funny, but thankfully they didn't know much about it. I have to say that's nice. That's refreshing, you know?
Well, Scientology hasn't really made any inroads in England, so...
No, but in Europe it has.
That's the weirdest part about it.
I have a friend who took the personality test in Austria, so they have centers all around the world. It's just... I think it's starting in, like, Germany and Austria. They're trying to, like, really push it. Unfortunately.
Confidential to our German and Austrian listeners, please, for the love of God, resist. Resist them.
Mm-hmm.
They'll turn your downtown area into a gaudy, ugly place. we love them. And also, I have a story I've been dying to talk about. And this is kind of... I'll try to make it as hilarious as possible. But about the time I moved to California, which happened 5 years ago last month.
Mm-hmm.
I moved here when I graduated from college, so this is the summer of 2000. And me and my friend Amy were in my car together. We packed up everything we possibly could, and we drove here. And at the time, I'm just setting the scene, by the way. At the time I moved to California, I was dating this girl. Nice enough person and all that, but it was the relationship was absolutely crap. I mean, just a complete shit relationship that neither one of us should have even attempted. And for some reason, there was all this codependence, and we were trying to stay together. And there was a lot of problems. We won't go into them now, except to say that there were lifestyle differences, and leave it at that.
Did she turn gay?
No.
Was she stacked?
I mean, in terms of friends one surrounds themselves with, and chemicals one likes to put in their bodies.
Cocaine?
Friends one arouses themselves with.
Yes, exactly. She constantly was masturbating to images of her friends, and that actually didn't happen.
Girlfriend.
No, the long story short is she and I had vastly different outlooks on what we were really looking for, and there was a lot of incompatibility, and it doesn't really matter. The point is, I was completely pathetically codependent. We won't go into the psychology of it. We'll just say that it shouldn't have been together at all. And I couldn't bring myself to break up, and we'd had some serious problems, and we're both moving to California. She was moving to San Francisco, and I was moving to Los Angeles. And for some dumbass reason, we were going to have this long-distance relationship that predictably failed. Unfortunately, I can't say that I broke up with her, and I don't mean that as a diss. I mean, I should have ended it.
How often is it do you have a long-distance relationship where both people move at the same time? That's really...
I think it happens a lot after college. When you go to colleges and places where people don't actually want to live, but you decide you want to stay together. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking, because I had no intention of moving to New York or San Francisco at the time. So, but anyway... there were some severe problems, and to sum up briefly, her friends were crap, and they all did a lot of coke. And she necessarily wasn't that big of it, but there was a lot of problems surrounding that entire scene, and I was too afraid to end the relationship. So we're driving to California, me and my friend Amy, and we stop at a Motel 6 in New Mexico just before we get to Arizona. And I have the most vivid, we've been up for like almost, I've been up for more than a day and a half at this point, because I got up at like 7 in the morning the day we moved, and this is like the middle of the next day by the time we stopped to get some sleep. So anyway, we go to the hotel room, I go to sleep, and I have the most vivid dream I've ever had in my life. And I mean, I've had vivid dreams since then, but I still remember to this day, and I actually wrote it down in the dream, and I don't even remember the plot, but I do remember specifically an authority figure in the dream turns to me, and clear as can be, says, "Ross, sexual fulfillment is no substitute for happiness." And the whole dream was about all these anxieties I was having about the relationship, and I wake up, and of course it was obvious. I'm like, I need to end this relationship. But you know how it is when you have a... when you have a vivid dream like that, you talk yourself out of it. You're like, oh, it was just a dream. I'm freaking out about it.
So who said this to you in the dream?
I don't remember. I mean, it was like, well, you know,
maybe it was you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sure it was my brain coming up with some way that
it was a man in a hood, and then when you pull the hood off, it was you.
Exactly. Well, it should have been me. We ended up breaking up eventually, but it was one of the first time. For some reason, this.
How long did it take after the dream?
Oh, we didn't break up. Remember the night we all three met? We had broken up that week.
Took a couple more dreams.
Yeah, it took a couple more months. Well, the problem was I was very codependent about
it. Seriously, Ross.
Yeah, because that was 2001.
Seriously, sexual fulfillment? Seriously.
Yeah. That was 2001, wasn't it?
2000. We met in December 2000.
Oh, okay.
Really? Yeah, I was still working at traffic station.
Oh, I had a fake ID. That's
yes,
what it was.
Exactly.
Oh.
We all met at the HMS Bounty.
Oh,
it was great.
My fake ID.
That was fantastic. Good times. But the point is... this dream actually affected me, and the reason I'm bringing it up is because I've been having these really vivid dreams this week, not related to relationships, but whenever I have anxiety about something, my brain makes me suffer for it when I sleep. So what's been happening to me this week in preparation for my big move is I've been having dreams about the end of the world. And this is...
Are you sure it just wasn't the valley on fire?
Yeah, exactly. I just want to say right now that eschatology is a form of child abuse. I'm just going to say that right now.
Eschatology?
A provocative point that I don't understand.
Eschatology literally means the study of the end of things, but it refers to mythology that has to do with end times. Eschatology, in this case, referring to the Book of Revelation, which I, growing up in Oklahoma, having...
Hippie shit.
Growing up in Oklahoma and having been raised around very stringent Christian beliefs that I have long since abandoned many, many years before, but... The fear that I was raised in as a kid still stays with me to this day. Like, I'm pretty terrified of the idea that there's a God out there who wants to destroy the world and punish everybody who doesn't, you know, praise him effusively.
Effusively.
And for some reason, whenever I have... And I was also very terrified of nuclear war when I was growing up. Really terrified of it. And I used to have nightmares when I was a kid about it, too. In those days, my anxiety... But usually when I have really deep anxiety about something else, I start dreaming about the end of the world. But the dreams have been really vivid this week. And it reminded me of that dream I had when I was moving to California, which is... I don't know. I wish if I could go back, I would have listened to myself telling me what exactly I needed to do. Have you guys ever had a moment like that where you've been completely gobsmacked by truth and failed to do anything about it?
Every day? I think so.
Well, I guess the advice that I have is if you're in a relationship and it's really unhappy and you have a dream that tells you without ambiguity that you need to end it, follow that dream's advice. You'll be happier for it in the long term.
Because your dream is really your mind. So it's really your opinion on the subject.
Yeah, exactly my point. Well, what's funny is when we broke up, she's the one that ended it with me. And like a dumbass, I tried to convince her not to do it. And I'm a persuasive guy, you know. And I think I gave like the performance of my life up to that point. Like I was arguing that we were meant for each other. And I knew it even at the time that I was just sort of doing it because you feel like you have to do that when someone's breaking up with you. Or at least I felt like that when I was in a much weirder time in my life. Three days later when I didn't miss her, and then again, that's not a diss to her. It's just, you know, when you get out of something that's really bad for you and then you realize it was really bad for you, you're mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm free. Hooray.
Mm-hmm.
Got drunk a lot.
And then you asked Kylo.
Damn you, kids. Well, anyway.
No, it was a misunderstanding, I guess.
I don't know. I was pretty drunk. The point is, damn it, that's it. I just wanted to talk about that. I'm moving, and it's filling me with lots of dread and anxiety, even though I'm very excited.
So do you think maybe the link here is moving equals really vivid dreams with authority figures telling you things?
Well, yes, his end-of-the-world dreams are pretty clearly about the end of, you know, the certain life that he has built in this apartment and that he's gay.
It's true. I was just thinking about it last night when I was driving home from work and realizing, because I had to take today off to get my move on, and I was realizing...
You just said, get my blank.
Oh, you're right.
On.
We banned that.
I hate that.
We banned
that
from theme
so
party.
Much.
I'm sorry, theme party
just
listeners.
Just like, got blank. I hate that, too.
I had to get my moving process initiated in earnest today.
Were you gelling?
No. No, I wasn't. Oh, good times. Anyway, I was driving home from work last night, and I hate Glendale. I hate it. You guys know why I hate Glendale. It's the rudest place in California.
I doubt that.
Plus, it's the only place...
I really doubt that.
Yeah, it's probably not ruder than Barstow, and it's certainly not ruder than Beverly Hills. But for sheer... Like, at least Beverly Hills is rude in a way you expect. You know, it's rude in, like, when rich people are driving past you in their cars.
No, because it's rude in ways you don't expect. Because when I used to work in Beverly Hills, I had people putting gum on the bumper of my car all the time.
What?
I had people... I was walking down the street to lunch one afternoon, and I was, you know, I was wearing, like, a completely covering outfit. You know, nothing slutty at all.
How unlike you.
And, exactly. No. We all know I... usually overdressed.
She's naked right now.
Yeah. But I'm walking down the street to lunch, not even looking at the road, and this hoopty full of girls drives by. It was a hoopty, technically, because it was like that old Chrysler, you know.
Yeah.
This hoopty full of girls drives by, and they scream twat at me.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was like, I wasn't even looking at the road. I wasn't looking at the car. They just drove by, screamed,
you know,
twat.
Twat is the girl equivalent of douchebag. And when somebody called me a douchebag, it was completely shocking. Like, I'm like, what am I in third grade again?
It was crazy because it was like, who just drives around and screams twat at people walking on the street? And that's when I was like, you know what, Beverly Hills, I would get like yelled at intersections if, like, I was trying to turn, people would, like, scream out of their cars at me. So
okay, you're
it was
right.
unexpectedly rude.
Then I guess what I should say is Glendale is one of the ruder places in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. What I was referring to is the weird rudeness you get in supermarkets or walking down the street or driving in your car. And for some reason, people feel the need to inform you that when you're on a scooter, your masculinity is in doubt. Mm-hmm. Which, of course, made me go, oh, you know, I never thought that people might actually have questions about me thanks to the fact that I'm not in a Hummer. What a unique concept. Mm. But you go to, like, John's. By the way, if you're in Glendale, do not shop at the John's grocery store. Oh, not for any, like, political reason, because they're assholes there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say why. But I'm not going to accuse them of racism, except I am. And
racism against
a provocative
you?
Way to hold your mic stand there, Kyle MCDC. But I hate Glendale, and yet I was driving through the neighborhood the other day, and this is just bizarre. Take a picture of this.
I don't have a camera.
Maybe you should describe it.
Yeah, and Kyle MCDC is holding his microphone in a way evocative of Greek sculpture. Let's just leave it at that. But I'm driving through this neighborhood, and this stupid voice in the back of my head's like, "This is the last time you'll ever take this route home," and I'm really mad at my brain for making me nostalgic for a neighborhood I hate.
But that always happens when you move out of some, or at least with me, because I tend to be very nostalgic and hold on to material possessions, not in a materialistic type of way.
Right on.
But when I was moving out of Hollywood, it was disgusting. And in fact, I would be moving stuff, and people who were living in the apartment were like, "Are you moving?" And I'm like, "Yes." And they're like, "You're so lucky." And I'm like, "Someday you'll get out of here." Like, it was amazing. It was all these people just kind of like stuck in this place. Even then, once the last time I slept in my room, and it was pretty cleaned out at that point. Yeah. You know, I looked up and I thought about the night that I moved in, which was my first apartment after college.
And this is the place over on Yucca, right?
Yeah, it wasn't after college, but it was my first non-campus housing apartment. And my first apartment that I rented on my own. And so I remembered that night when I, like, you know, moved, and it was just still that, like, feeling that everything is possible. And, like, here I moved to Los Angeles from this small little town, and maybe I can do something with myself. Yeah. Now I'm kind of relaxed in that a little bit, but, you know.
Word.
But still, like, I remember that time when, you know, I felt all confident, and, like, there was new doors of my life opening up. And so, of course, that comes back to you when your apartment is just as undecorated as it was when you moved in.
Yeah, my apartment, not the same. You know what? We're going to come back to this topic in a second. Right now, we're going to switch to Kyle's Corner for
Kyle's Corner.
When we return, we will discuss a couple of things that I'd like to talk about.
This Kyle's Corner is dedicated to Ross.
Thanks,
Kyle. It's all songs about his situation. I'm going to start it off with My Apartment by Ben Queller.
Word.
Time. I'm there all the time. I'm there all the
when the nice man said he'd help her with a new portfolio.
Mrs. E, Mrs. A, you too.
ever there's a girl that can rock your world, and that girl sure is me. So the fun won't start till she's clapping it up, feeling good on top of the pops. When you make it be plus one, friends won't stand at the after show. She wins down and you're pretty up. Make your friend, it's me plus one. Now this wannabe senorita, let a group of ugly girls traded posters on the boxcars for telling round the world. But it didn't make her happy, and now she feels alone. There were pictures in the paper, and no one back at home. Mrs. B, Mrs. C, Mrs. A, Mrs. C, Mrs. A, Mrs. C, O. I'm gonna reach the top, I'm never gonna stop, and I'm sure I'm gonna bring your bell. Mrs. B, Mrs. I, Mrs. F, F, I, Mrs. C, Mrs. C, L, T. If ever there's a girl that can rock your world, and that girl sure is me. So the fun won't start till she's clapping it up, feeling good on top of the pops. Can you make it be plus one? Friends won't start at the after show. She wins now and I'll fill you up. Make your friend, it's me plus one. Don't you think it's gone long enough? Take a look at yourself. Get out of the car. You know it's time. You got to let it go. It's gone. Mrs. B, Mrs. C, Mrs. A, U, T, Mrs. A, Mrs. F, U, O. I'm gonna reach the top, I'm never gonna stop, and I'm sure gonna ring your bell. Mrs. B, Mrs. I, Mrs. F, F, I, Mrs. C, Mrs. C, L, T. If ever there's a girl that can rock your world, and that girl sure is me. So the fun won't start till she's clapping it up, feeling good on top of the pops. Can you make it be plus one? Friends won't stand at the after show. She wins down and I fill it up. Make your friend, it's me plus one. So the fun won't start till she's clapping it up, feeling good on top of the pops. Can you make it be plus one? Friends won't stand at the after show. She wins down and I fill it up. We'll be right back.
It's called Theme Party, and don't we love it because it's called that. This is Theme Party radio program. You just heard Kyle's Corner, brought to you by Kyle MCDC, as always.
This week's Kyle's Corner was sponsored by Ross Brand Condoms. Go for the nerd. Go for the sexual neuroses.
Don't you mean like go for the nerd, stay for the sexual neuroses?
Thank you, yes, go for the nerd.
That's why I got my degree in advertising right there. That honing that you just witnessed.
Thank you.
Anyway, I started out that moving dedicated set with My Apartment by Ben Queller, which is a really good apartment song. And then Move Your Feet by Junior Senior, Me Plus One by Annie, which is what will now be. And then Between Us and Them by Moving Units.
Which is a good song about between us and the valley.
Well, and also it's by Moving Units.
Oh, good call, yes. I'm not very subtle or clever. So.
I'm not very either, so. So don't go looking.
Good times, great oldies. So here's the thing. Showering. It's important. You guys know how much I love it. And I mean, you know how
you
much
always think of showering.
I love showering so much.
How many showers did you take today?
Two.
Is that par for the course?
Whenever I can. I don't like
yesterday, how many?
Just one. Normally, I just take one shower a day, but on good days, I get to take two, and it's,
awesome. I heard Clark Gable was full of many neuroses, and he would take about five a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd start feeling guilty after the third shower about wasting all the water, but I just like the refreshing cleansiness of it.
And the time.
Oh, if you have time for a shower, take it. Take it.
I hate taking showers. I mean, I have to do it, especially when my hair gets really long.
Yeah.
But I'll put that shit off for so long. I hate it.
I just, when I wake up in the morning, I like to wake up with a shower. And then if I do a lot of exerting stuff during the day, and I am a sweater, as you guys know, and not a charming pullover that makes the girls go, "What a cute little outfit you're wearing," but a disgusting molting of water kind of man. I sweat a lot. And if I sweat a lot,
I
like
to... snowbird? You're molting water?
I'm a snowbird. I molt water, yes. I like to take showers to take that... The problem with taking a shower, if you've just been like exerting yourself, as I was today, walking all over the house, moving boxes,
with
moving
the
furniture. No ladies today, sadly. Mm. When I exert myself with the ladies, I just lay back and go, "Thanks, baby. Have a smoke." actually, I go, thank you so much for keeping me so far from my virginity. Please let me make you a cake.
Aww.
You know, one such lucky lady, I made samosas last night.
Ooh,
you made what?
Samosas.
Samosas. What are those?
They're like They're like pastry turnovers. They're Indian food. They're basically sort of pastries filled, spicy pastries, not sweet pastries, filled with
potatoes
or vegetables.
Or it's like
meat.
The Polish Indian food.
Yeah.
Basically.
And I made garbanzo beans, olives, onions, basil. I put some, to give the Oklahoma flourish, I put some mesquite seasoning
steak
in there. And, it's just some mesquite seasoning. And,
beans and Franks.
Yeah. And then I threw a Bible into it.
Do you have to beat those beans and Franks?
I didn't put beans and Franks in it.
Did you have
but
to
I did
them?
Put cranberry juice as a solvent agent because I used curry paste instead of making curry. So I bought
know, something about solvent agent and food.
Well, I had to dissolve the curry paste so it would mix more fully with the other ingredients. So to dissolve it, I used cranberry juice. And it was fucking amazing. The only problem is I didn't cut enough of the dough off. I used pastry dough, and it fluffs and flakes pretty spectacularly. So I should have cut more of it off. Instead, I ended up with like samosas plus hats. Mm. You know,
Ross, you know how to make stuff and food and stuff. Can I ask you a question?
Shoot.
If I have a pancake from Denny's on Tuesday, can I still eat it?
Why? What does Tuesday have to do with it?
I don't know. Maybe it gets old.
Oh, it's in your house right now?
Yeah.
If you kept it in your fridge...
I did.
And it's bread, so as long as it's in your fridge and it's not moldy...
Great.
But it's going to taste really bad.
Well, yeah. It's a pancake for me.
You're going to have to smother it with syrup. Are you one of those...
I plan to.
Are you one of those peanut butter and pancakes kind of guys?
Hell no.
Good. Because those people are fucking
I'm a man of simple tastes.
There, you've never had peanut butter and pancakes?
No.
Kyle, you know what I'm talking about.
Never even heard of this.
Well, I actually had not heard of this.
I've heard peanut butter and banana.
I've heard some weird.
Everybody out there in theme party land who is listening right now, our instant message ID is Theme Party Radio. If you know what I'm talking about, when I'm talking about peanut butter and pancakes, give us an IM.
What about melted cheese on pie? That's pretty
good. Oh, good, good, good. Chocolate and cheese is good, too.
Gross.
No, melted cheese on pie. Cheese tastes good on almost anything sweet. Something about the texture and taste of cheese goes almost with anything. It tastes good on meat. It tastes good on...
And yet people make fun of me when I dip cookies in wine.
What a good idea.
Just like I used to dip cookies in juice when I was a little kid.
Mm.
Instead of milk, because I didn't drink milk because I hated it.
The cookies and juice is kind of weird.
But I would, like, all the kids would be, like, dipping cookies in milk, and I would dip cookies in juice. And then so I thought as an adult, why not dip cookies in wine?
Right.
And it's very tasty.
No, I'm with you. I'm going to try that out. The only complaint I have about...
But people make fun of that. I'm like, you stick cheese on pie, and you think cookies in wine is weird.
Okay, how do you feel about mixing honey with salsa? You should try it. Honey and salsa is the shit.
By honey, you mean...
You guys.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Look, this is relevant to the theme. Because our whole purpose is what I'm going to...
How is this relevant to the theme?
I'm getting to that. I'm going to have invite people over on Sunday for my Welcome to My Apartment barbecue. And you know what? We're going to make pancakes and peanut butter.
I know of a party on Sunday. Have a next weekend. You want to come to this party. It's going to be fun. There's going to be a lot of Largo people.
Where's the party?
There's a party on
Silver
Sunday.
Lake.
Let's
tell
everyone.
It's going to be a lot of Largo people.
Like Largo performers people?
There might be some comedians and stuff because it's a waitress at Largo.
Oh. Well, you know what? Now that I live in Silver Lake, I could walk down there.
Well, probably not.
Well, you know what? I could at least... Oh, you know what's really cool is because I use scooter and not car. But there's a parking space.
Not car.
Ross, use scooter.
Me, Ross, not to use car. No, but because I ride a scooter and not a car, there's going to be room for my homies whenever they come visit me to park in what would be my car's parking space.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Woo-hoo,
very excited.
Baby.
Here's one thing that you guys will be surprised to know. I have not actually tested the shower to see whether because the thing about showering is if it's just that like trickle
so
of water that comes out. Now, I understand why low-yield showers are important for conserving water. And
do you have a shower with a lady?
No. I mean, I have, but it's a useless pastime.
When's the last time you did?
Several
years. I don't find this to be useless.
When I say useless, let me rephrase.
I guess overrated, really.
Overrated, yeah. The last time was
about
agree. 3 years ago. And yes, I had sex during the shower. It was awesome. Except it wasn't awesome.
No,
because
it's difficult.
It's difficult.
It's
difficult in a pool.
I was
or a spa.
It's difficult
but
in a shower.
I'll say that, like, I'm going to kiss my fist. And here's the thing, the sex was really great for me.
Well, you don't have to have intercourse. There are other things you can do.
Okay,
in a shower.
Well,
but we're talking about sex in a shower.
I'm talking about sexy stuff in a shower.
No, but sexy stuff in a shower is good. But sex in a shower,
it's difficult.
Logistically difficult and overrated.
Well, here's the other problem with taking a shower with somebody. Wait, come here, grab a microphone. You should grab a microphone. Weigh in.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I have to put just one word regarding sex in the shower.
Okay.
Appliques.
Oh, that's a scary word.
Those are little sticky things that keep
like
your feet from slipping.
Yeah.
Yeah, like little butterflies and
flowers
and daisies and stuff. Yeah, appliques.
We support that. Okay, appliques, ladies and gentlemen. Use them.
Yeah, you need
you can
the
put
traction.
Them a lot of places, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I will say this. When it comes to when it comes to doing sexy stuff, yes, it's kind of fun. You get clean and dirty at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is there's only enough hot water for one person. And that's true no matter how you stack it up. And so
you're not doing it in an Eskimo. It's okay. Los Angeles.
Oh, you don't understand. I like to take my time getting clean, and if I'm standing out in the coldness, well...
Have a chick get you clean. if you know what I mean.
All I'm saying is,
no, but
the
it's
key
fun
to
you
good
can shampoo each other's hair.
You are
that's
really
so fun.
Weird. And
what? What's wrong with shampooing each other's hair?
Nothing's wrong with
sexy.
It.
I
like Lisa Kudrow in The Opposite of Sex. All she wants is a really good shampoo.
No, but you know when you like scratch the scalp, like great stuff.
No, I like having my hair washed. I mean, all
no,
that stuff
I
is
like
nice. But what's really nice, what the thing is, it's like all the like oral sex is awesome in the shower. The problem is the water drowns you. It's really difficult to.
That's
like
just like the Dominique Swain classic Dead in the Water,
yeah.
Where she gives a guy a blowjob underwater
in the ocean.
Like,
yeah. If she
could
do that, Ross,
it's
you
not
can do,
possible.
Look,
you can be a cunning linguist in the shower.
I did not go to Dominique Swain's college. I do not know.
Mm.
She is clearly a prodigy. How old is she now?
20-something.
Well, she's got to be in her 20s for sure. What was the last movie she was in?
Ross.
I don't know.
It wasn't theatrically released. I don't even know.
Well, all I'm saying
what
is
was the last video she was in?
I think it's time for us to have a part two Dominique Swain movie.
Yeah. We thought about doing that. We might do that.
I'm Dominique Swain, if you're out there, I just want you to know that I admire your hard work in legitimizing crappy, poorly done erotic thrillers.
Ross is referencing an article that all three of us did, in fact, called Bongs, Boobs, and Barstow, The Films of Dominique Swain. And we did it for Ostrich Inc., which you can find at Ostrich Inc., I-N-K, is the ink.com, which just got written up in the LA Times on Sunday.
Yeah, that was
and
really cool.
Put out a new issue this week.
Did you know that it was going to get written up?
Well, the writer had written to me. Asking what she should read if she was going to read like a couple articles.
Who suggested the article to her?
Well, I actually this chick Christine Ziemba, she profiles a different website, LA-based website, in the Sunday LA Times every week, and she was profiling once, and I was like, we're so much better than that. Why are we being profiled?
Yeah.
So I found her email address and emailed her, and she's like, actually, you're already on my list, and I'll be emailing you soon. And then she did, and. And then it happened this past Sunday.
We'll give it up for her. She gave a really, really good review, too. And she read some of the better articles.
Yeah, well, I recommended some that I thought would be a good cross-section.
Word.
But yeah, there's, you know, there's several hundred articles on Ostrich Inc., which are hilarious, sometimes poignant, always interesting nonfiction accounts of the LA experience. So go check them out.
I'm down with that.
What do we have in the new issue? What can we tease? We have theft. We have.
It's true.
what else?
Well, I'm blanking. Thefts, which is always
yes,
good.
Oh, yeah. There's a young Miss Haley Eber has a new article.
Nose jobs.
That's right.
Nose jobs.
A nose job for necessity, though.
Yes, different.
So go read it. It's great writing.
Yeah.
We're really like playing.
We're selling it.
Right
the point
now.
Is
an interview with the 2220s.
Ostrich Inc. is kind of the.
Oh my letter.
The identical cousin.
I got asked out by someone who was pissed that we got in the LA Times.
Oh my god, that was so weird too.
Yeah, named Lorenzo.
Explain it.
Well, basically, he. You know, I get this email, and I figured that everyone had, you know, like. Kyle and I had both received the email, but and maybe like Kyle was BCC'd or something and I couldn't see it.
No.
But no, it was just, I asked Kyle and he's like, no, it's just to you. It was basically this guy saying, you know, congrats and getting written up in the LA Times. Don't think you're part of the LA writers writing about LA scene because I haven't read anything of substance in the magazine.
Oh.
But it's a good start, so good job. P.S. If you want to take me out for coffee sometime to discuss my suggestions for your site. I'm like, okay, so basically this guy is doing a, you know, girls don't like nice guys, so I'm going to be like a total dick, and she'll be like, oh, yes, like, ugh. I'll take out some stranger for coffee, what?
And pay for it.
Well,
you know
pay,
what?
Yeah.
You know what?
And so I wrote him back, and I was just like, I don't have any money, I'm not taking anyone for coffee, and
well, you know what's funny about
you
mentioning
about,
that?
Dude? And then he wrote back, and he was like, even more like, Well, no, honestly, if we go out and blah, blah, like, okay, you're probably, like, internet, probably, like, the 10th guy who's, yeah. like, hit on me on the internet, and the meanest one, so why would I choose him? I mean, other people are like, I'll, keep you warm in the winter in Santa Barbara. You know, so like,
by the way, feel free to hit on us on the internet by IMing us at Theme Party Radio.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny about you bringing up the nice guys, blah, 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 is mm-hmm. that... that's
and
actually
you didn't even send a picture, which
what?
The other ones
what?
Did.
It's what's funny?
Oh, it's just last week's theme was spend a great deal of time on that. And if people want to listen to last week's theme, all they have to do is go online to killradio.org and check the archives, because our show from last week is up there right now.
Or they can go to radioforall.net. That's 4 as in the number 4.
Correcto.
Do a search for Theme Party, and you'll see some other shows there as well that you can download.
Kyle MCDC, you're a scholar and a poet.
That's me.
I think we should play some more music for a bit.
Sounds
I'm
good.
Down with it.
Yeah, I'm going to play a song right now. True story, by the way.
My true good story.
My good friend Tom Neely, artist.
Tom Neely.
if you guys want to know more about my friend Tom, go to iwilldestroyyou.net.
Is it not .com?
Yeah. Maybe it is. It is .com. You're right. I get confused. Iwilldestroyyou.com.
.net is porn.
.xxx. Go to iwilldestroyyou.com and look away at the work of this wonderful genius. Look away.
Look away from it.
Study it.
Dixieland.
Study it like
to it, then look away.
Dixieland.
Now go and check it out. He's an animator and a painter.
Look
and
away.
And
a poet.
Not a poet. Not even remotely close to being a poet.
Studly blue-haired man.
He doesn't longer have
dreams.
No. He doesn't have blue hair anymore. He dyed it black.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
It's true. The point is, Tom Neely.
I'd totally do Tom if he wasn't a germaphobe and afraid of that.
Wow. Tom is a... No, the one time Tom's not a germaphobe is when
he had a girlfriend.
Yeah. But when it comes to sex, Tom's not a germaphobe.
Oh, he's nobody is then, are they?
Exactly. Except for Howard Hughes, which is why he didn't have sex after 1940. But we're getting off topic. The point is, ladies and germs, here's the deal. Yo.
It's not what Errol Flynn said.
Tom Neely moved to California in 1998, 2 years before one Ross Lincoln moved here. By the way, that's me. Anyway, I made a mixtape for Tom, for him to listen to. True story, the first song on the mixtape was the song I'm about to play right now. And Tom later admitted that he started tearing up when he heard that song because it was so poignant to the fact that he was moving.
And did you guys make out after that?
Yes, the sunset came down in the low hills. And
you have made out with Tom, though.
Jokingly, though. It didn't really count.
Jokingly. I often jokingly make out with my friends.
Well, I mean, it was like, look, you didn't grow up in Oklahoma. Sometimes that kind of thing is very shocking. And
well, maybe I should have.
Yeah, exactly. well, I'm going to play this song now. It made my friend Tom cry. And when you go to his website, you'll understand why that's so weird. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you this. Ooh, it's Bosom Buddies! I still belong. where we're moving on up.
Time to come home. I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life. Go ahead with your own life. Leave me alone.
I never said you had to offer me a second chance.
I never said you had to.
I never said I was a victim of circumstance.
The eligible Ross Lincoln is feeling quite sentimental tonight. And the next song is a sad side effect of that sentimentality, but I promise after it's over, you'll understand why it, not only the song is awesome, but why it had to be played. And then after the song is over, something even more kick-ass will come. The point is, I felt the need for explanation. Meanwhile, Supergrass rules.
A lot of stuff to the blog, and it just looks really cool on your MySpace friends list if you are. So go to myspace.com/themepartyradio. Foxy.
Theme Party loves you. We want to make that clear.
We love you, baby.
A few more things we want to say. We're going to play a few more songs as we fade out for the night, but this is the end. Theme Party has been happy to spend this evening with you, and you know how much Theme Party loves you and appreciates your spending your Friday night with us. As always, let's remind our listeners that they can listen to us every week, and there's a couple of really great things coming up in the next few weeks. In particular, mark your calendars. You have to listen on October 14th. That's two shows from now. We have special guest Luna from Sexy Roba. I'm going to play a Sexy Roba song in a couple of seconds so you guys know what to expect, or at least have an inkling. The point I'm trying to make is this. Sexy Roba will be performing, or not Sexy Roba, but Luna will be live in the studio with us. We'll have her demo. If we're lucky, she'll be performing. She'll be hanging out with us. She's a major talent, and at least as far as LA Underground's concerned, she's practically a god. And
goddess.
A goddess, yes. I don't like to sexually dimorphize the deities.
Speaking of sexual anthropomorphizing, that didn't come out right. I was at LACMA yesterday. I saw a really rad painting about Zeus being the swan and doing that chick. It was really weird.
You're really weird.
No, well, I mean, the painting was good.
That sounds kind of tacky.
Well, it was a good painting. Anyway, but I also actually, to go back to something that Ross was talking about earlier, I saw a the Mulholland Drive painting that, what's his bucket did? Starts with a K. Never mind. Come back to me.
Word.
Famous?
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe it doesn't start with a K.
We'll come back to that in a second. Let's wrap things up and just say two things. One, theme party, as Kyle pointed out, can be taught. You can catch our antics and thoughts every day or once a week, depending on our whims, at our theme party blog, which is at myspace.com/theme party. You can check out our website, which is there, ostrichink.com/theme party radio. I recommend the blog as the best place to check us out. If you want to get on our mailing list, themeparty@gmail.com. Send us an email, you'll be put on our list, and you'll be updated as to all the happenings of Theme Party. Check out Ostrich Inc., like we mentioned earlier. Tonight was sort of a bonus show because normally we don't get to do the last Friday of the month, although it looks like things might be changing in our favor. But next week we'll be back with an all-new theme. We'll be back with all-new fun. There's a possibility that there may be a special surprise, although there's a possibility that there's not. But the point is, I think I have it locked up. I'll announce it in an email. We will have Luna as our guest in 2 weeks. And on that note, I want to remind everybody, and I mean this sincerely, no matter what you do, never, and I mean never, be ashamed to be seen having fun in public. And if anyone tries to make you feel guilty for it, laugh at them because they are stupid. Theme party@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.